now plugged into the Delphi podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy, and I help lead Delphi Ventures, as well as host some of the most in-the-weeds and thought-provoking guests across crypto, spanning Layer 1s to DeFi, NFTs, and beyond. The goal is to have fun, but also to dive deep and offer foundational episodes on projects and founders. Also, check out our research on Delphi Digital or miss out on the most compelling research there is. It's up to you. As a reminder, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. Delphi Ventures may hold tokens mentioned, so check out our transparency page in the show notes for more info. With that, let's dive in. See you guys on the other side. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy, one of your hosts. Today, I'm thrilled to have on Justin Aversano, who created the Twin Flames Project, Quantum Art, RawDAO, a bunch of others. Justin, how's it going?
Great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. I'm thrilled that we could finally jam and record this podcast. So I think we should learn a little bit about you before we get started, who you are as a person. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an artist. I love surfing. I love painting. I love taking photos. I just started making Super 8 films. So I'm a mixed media artist. I run a nonprofit called Save Art Space, which is very dear to me, to support other artists in the public space. And, you know, I skateboard and bike. I like to be active. I like to be in nature. I like to do things that really uplift the spirit.
I love that, man. It's fun. It's interesting, and it keeps it fresh. So you're like a prolific photographer. I'd love to learn more about your arc between traditional photography and putting that on chain, right? Like, what was that story between going from one to the other?
Well, being, you know, taught in the traditional realm of photography when I went to art school for photography back in 2010 to 2014, you learn about shooting for commercial shoots, you learn about going to galleries, you learn how to be in a gallery or, you know, shoot for major brands. So right from the beginning, I knew I wanted to be a museum artist. I wanted to be a gallery artist. I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to make important work. I didn't want to shoot for brands. I didn't want to keep the hamster wheel of the industry going just to raise money for my art. Like, there's art is more meaningful to me than that. So from the jump, it was like I needed to just create from the heart and make things that no one else is making because it's coming from the source of my creativity. And so being in the art world, having gallery shows, you know, starting the nonprofit Save Art Space and doing public art curations, it's really all physical. It's all material. It's all in a space or outside. You know, you start there. The politics of the art world is so much different than what we're seeing in crypto and NFTs and blockchain, because there are, you know, and I like to say it like this, there's pockets of wealth in the art world and there's oceans of wealth in the crypto world. So, you know, getting support in the traditional world is so much harder than it is where we are here. It might simply be because, you know, dollars and fiat is more restrictive than ETH and crypto. You know, what sounds more, you know, $1,000 or 0.2 ETH? So there's a psychology around numbers. You know, even with when you bring up like $50,000, what sounds more, $50,000 or 5 ETH or no, 10 ETH? So it's like, I feel like there's a psychological thing in crypto where it doesn't seem like a lot of money because, you know, some people probably like yourself had ETH since $10. And I think that's the major difference, is so much wealth was generated over a few years that literally created millionaires out of probably millions of people that we never seen before in the art world, when there's only certain people that could buy certain art and certain collectors you want to get their attention. So the art world's more political in the sense of there's less people to support you and money is tight when you're working with fiat because of inflation and everything. But in crypto, there's so much acceptance and abundance. It's like, why wouldn't you be part of this? And not only that, you know, I think a lot of people on the collecting side like the liquidity aspect of how art itself can be liquid if they didn't need to turn it over. Whereas if you buy a Basquiat for $1 million, it's going to take you like 5 years to sell it for $10 million. Whereas, you know, you buy an X copy today for $1 million, you could probably sell it for $10 million tomorrow. So I think that is a major shift financially in the art sector that's very different than what we've ever experienced before, ever. But the art has pretty much stayed the same, which is interesting. It's just a different place for the art to exist. exist. You know, I feel like the blockchain has always been, you know, the most transparent transactions you could see, anyone could see if you just go to Etherscan or wherever, that you might not see in the art world, because there is a lot of smoke and mirrors in the art world. So you never know what's truly fraud or embezzlement or whatever. At least you could see what's going on in the blockchain from wallet to wallet.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. So it sounds like going from the traditional world with photography to crypto, you get the benefit of obviously having a lot of people that can invest, can appreciate your art, get work, get involved. You also don't have to deal with like pockets of wealth or pockets of people that are, you know, interested or not interested. So the market's a lot bigger. I guess the burning question for those that might not be familiar with quantum art and your work is, you know, a lot of people will just question, you know, what is the benefit of putting a photograph on Ethereum, right? I'm sure you get this question a lot, right? I mean, from my view, I think there's a lot of benefits from transparency, from provenance, being able to obviously celebrate this work and share it around. But what would you say is like the burning desire to have your work on Ethereum?
I would say it definitely comes from taking the power back for your artwork and not just giving it to corporations, social media companies to just utilize your creative power to power their advertising machine. I think that's a major thing. People want to get paid for their work, and they don't want to just get, you know, likes or comments anymore. People need to pay the bills. People need to feed their families. And I think with Ethereum or any other, you know, blockchain that works with minting NFTs, we could start to see connections coming out of it. There are people connect with the artwork where they may have never seen it before or appreciated it before because of the context of value implemented with their artworks, where you don't see, it's kind of like the complete opposite with social media. It's just, it's meaningless. It's disposable. But with Ethereum, or with all these other blockchains that value your work and put value to it, it definitely changes the way you perceive how works can be in the world and value it too. So I think that's the major shift, technologically speaking, what we're seeing from Web 2 to Web 3. That is ultimately the major paradigm pendulum swing from free art to actually quitting your jobs and being the artist you want to be in life.
That makes sense. Do you think that for new artists in the space, like, do you think that they'll go the traditional route that you went when you went to college, started doing shows, stuff like that? Or do you think most artists, most photographers will go crypto native?
Probably both, I would say, because without education, I wouldn't know how to be an artist who I am today without learning philosophy, without learning the mechanics of the camera, without meeting the right people to inspire me. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said about how we educate. And I think going to school and maybe teaching these things on how to use the blockchain or how to code your art can be definitely a curriculum thing that can be, you know, powerful to have. And, you know, it's not one or the other. Like, I feel like everything could coexist, and as it should, it just, there needs to be a bridge between these things that make it make sense. Otherwise, like, you don't want to have too much hubris moving into the future and forgetting about the history of everything. You know, I feel like that's a big mistake people make is, you know, they get caught on something and they think it's better than everything they've ever done. And I think it delineates them from the source of the roots of where they come from. And I think you always got to respect the ancestors and, you know, move in grace and not hubris, thinking everything in front of you is better than what came before it. Without everything before it, we wouldn't even be here. So I think education and schooling is, you know, for me at least, I needed it. Some people don't, just to improve my consciousness. But I think, you know, like I said, there can be classes on NFTs and people might be teaching these things someday, just like they teach you how to do social media marketing.
So Justin, let's move over to Twin Flames. You released a really cool collection. I'm going to go off memory here on the description, but I believe it was 100 sets of twins and you took them using three different formats. I think it was Polaroid and a 4x5 and another method I hope you'll share with us. But I mean, the collection came out amazing. I mean, the reception's been great. Obviously, people have bid them up quite a bit too. What was your kind of thesis or motivation around the Twin Flames collection?
I mean, I started this project in 2017 and I've been fostering the idea since 2016. And I really spearheaded it in 2017 on May 31st, starting in Central Park. I was really just motivated by, you know, leaving the shooting, the music world and really taking my own approach on how I want to carve my career out as an artist. And, you know, as an artist, you choose a subject matter that really is meaningful to you, that signifies something deep in your core, in your heart. And for me, it was twins. If you look at the history of photography, you know, you see artists like Diane Arbus, who made twins look out to be like freaks and weirdos, is what people like to say as historians talk about her work. But for me, it's like these people are heroes, mythological divine beings. And, you know, the source of the idea actually came from two different places. One, celebrating my twins' life and death and honoring them through this project and healing that space for my mother's miscarriage, of us, you know, me being a twin survivor and holding that guilt and transmuting that into something I could actually show love through, which is this project. And I think, you know, through the lens of photography, it ultimately enabled me to connect with so many twins around the world to give me that completion that I've been seeking my whole life, because I had a piece of me missing my whole life. So I feel like meeting these people gave me that resilience to move forward and let that go, and, you know, build a community around the artwork we're making. And these pictures are just the journey through the healing. And I like to call Twin Flames the healing journey. And the second inspiration was, I have these moments when I come up with a project and I'm in a specific place with my tools or the camera or people. And sometimes, like, I see someone, I see something, I have an idea just hit me out of nowhere from, like, the cosmic, you know, consciousness that just strikes me like a lightning bolt through my being. And it's like, this is the project you're gonna do. And then I do it. And there's no way I can explain where that comes from or how it forms. It might be a collective of experiences that lead into that moment of an aha epiphany, but it's just, it does come from the void and makes me make something from that space. My teacher, Dr. Moore, back in college, used to call this the flame of novelty.
Now, that's deep. I mean, you really have a real meaning behind this collection, right? And I've been scrolling through the collection, just sharing my screen for those watching the video. And I mean, the photography is amazing. How did you actually shoot these? Like, what kind of equipment did you use? Was it on a Polaroid or?
I used the Polaroid because I use a Polaroid for all my projects. For me, like, the Polaroid is my first interaction with photography as a child. So for me, it's always had this nostalgia, but also this feeling, this tangibility, like the perfect photo because you only have one shot. So for me, I love using the Polaroid because it's like, it's one, there's only one, and it's physical. It's in that moment. It's real. It's kind of like magic. And then I use the 6x6 Mamiya C330, which is a twin lens reflex camera. And I use that camera because twin lens. I like to use tools that really match the idea for the project, from the camera to the paper it's printed on.
Oh, that's incredible. And what was the process like for, like, identifying your subjects, right? Like, how did you find basically 200 people?
So it was very natural. You know, I met Allie and Jilly, the first set of twins, at a gallery show I was having on Valentine's Day. And then when I had met them months later to shoot the first photo, they introduced me to the next set of twins. And then the next set of twins introduced me to the next set. And then once I started posting these on Instagram, people were like, I know twins, you should meet them. And other twins were like, you should meet these twins. Or twins saw my Instagram and started reaching out to me. And I also reached out to other twins around the world because I went to Peru and London and California. And I was like, on a mission, you know, not, this is all I thought about and cared for. So it's like, I'm just going to keep connecting with people and set up shoot dates. It took me a year and a month to find everybody. You know, I shot like probably like 2 to 5 people a week at some point. I shot like 3 people in one day.
It's crazy that it was all just referrals, basically. There was no like crazy, you know, outreach or media tour or anything to find your subjects. It was just all natural.
Yeah, I don't do any casting calls or anything like that. I like keeping it organic and natural and flowing. And I think that's the truth. You know, like maybe someday when I'm shooting movies, we'll do casting. But I love, you know, seeing people in the moment and like, wow, like that's someone I can make art with and connect with them and then make art and connect with them solely to create with them, which is, I think, an incredible, you know, way to meet people.
Yeah, no, I totally understand where you're coming from. And I guess the next part of this, though, is like you started this work, you said, about 4 or 5 years ago, right? How do you get your work from there to Ethereum, right? Like, are you minting these? Like, yeah, how, like, what's the process like to get them from physical Polaroid or on your camera to Ethereum?
So, you know, before even I knew what Ethereum was, I was doing this project. You know, I knew what Ethereum was, but I wasn't really heavily invested. I was more of into Bitcoin and Litecoin at the time. And I thought, like, Ethereum, I had no idea what it was used for until, you know, beginning of 2021, where I start seeing the use case more mainstream, like with how NFTs function and ETH activates it. So, you know, I just started shooting. I shoot with film. So the journey is shoot film, develop the film with chemicals, scan the film. You know, at the time it was post the photos after you edit them and color correct them on Instagram and have a portfolio there and put them on your website. But now it's like I'm moving away from that and I don't even want to post my stuff on Instagram anymore. I want to just, you know, create the collection and mint them on my own new contract and give the work true value and not create meaningless scrollable images anymore. And I think, you know, that's the journey of the image. You know, you shoot, you let the subject decide which photo is their favorite that to use. And then I use that. And then, you know, we created a book, we had an exhibition, and then I found Ethereum NFTs earlier in 2021. And I saw the potential of what the blockchain could do for artists, even though it was intimidating at the time for photographers, because all you saw was digital art and you didn't think there was a place for photography. So I saw the tool and I was like, you know what? Why not? Like, you know, it's just like posting your photos on Instagram. It's just like putting your photos on your website for sale for print. So let's see what happens. Let's see how this works. Let's experience new technology. Let's evolve. Let's grow. Try something new. And then, you know, I did, and I listed it at my fair market value, which was $1,000 at the time for my 101 prints. And lo and behold, now people are, you know, continuously trading these things. And I never could have imagined that would ever happen.
I mean, your progress, though, has been pretty surreal, right? Like, I mean, people are no longer paying $1,000 for these, right? What are they going for?
The last one that sold was for like 270th.
Wow, clearly product market fit, or clearly solid adoption. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're bringing photography to the blockchain. It's like the most, it's just the perfect match.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, so for Quantum Art, your platform, right? How do you view that long term, right? Do you expect a lot of artists to come on here and submit their work and like there's a curation board and then other people can buy the mints? Like, what's the process for an artist who wants to be involved with Quantum Art, you know, beyond yourself?
So we have 12 artists since we started in November. We launch one a week. Yesterday was Laurent Chevalier with his Enough series, which is street photography, black and white. And so that was our most recent drop.
I'm going to share that right now. This is awesome. Yeah, no, keep going.
So, you know, this is a curated platform and we're highly curating who's in the curated collections. But we're also having a community collection where if you're an NFT native photographer and if you don't want your work on OpenSea or Foundation, you can submit to our curation board, who is made up of Chris Graves and Rula, our team members who are curating photography. So please submit at curation@quantum.art if you're a photographer. And we're launching the community collections later this month. And we'll be doing that with VIP community guests, people who are in the community of NFT photography, of OGs who will be curating with us or dropping with us. So we really want to keep it open. As much as it seems like it's closed, I feel like there needs to be two tiers here. One is to onboard photographers, which is what we're doing with curated. Most of our curated collections are onboarded for the first time from the fine art world, who are like revered with galleries and museum shows and awards. So our curated collection is mainly for new people, and the community collection is mainly for people who've been in the space for a while and give them some shine and part of what we're doing.
That's awesome, man. It kind of reminds me of, I mean, ArtBlocks is a three-tier system, but it kind of reminds me of how they have their curated platform and then, you know, factory, or I guess that would be community for you guys, where anybody could kind of get a little bit more access.
Right. I mean, we just, at this time, we only have two things. It's you know, the community and what we're curating. We like to keep it simple, and we're excited to launch that later this month.
It's awesome. And so if somebody goes on Quantum, they're viewing Enough by Laurent and they want to mint, what exactly are they getting? Are they able to like decide which image they'd like, or are they minting the entire collection, or how does that work?
With Quantum, we specifically made it so when you connect your wallet and the drop goes live, we've recently started doing more Dutch auctions for season two. So season one ended December 30th with Delphine Diallo. And now we're starting season two yesterday. And each season's made up of like 11 to like 16 artists, depending on the time frame. You know, you click connect wallet and you wait for the mint day. And then it says open soon. And then once the block hits the certain time, you know, usually at noon Eastern Standard Time, you'll be able to mint. And there's a Dutch auction that starts from either 2.5 to 5.5 ETH. or 1 ETH to 0.25 ETH, just to create different levels of access to our community. So, you know, and these drops sell out pretty much instantly or within like 2 hours. You know, we've been selling every drop out recently, all 12 drops we've done, we've pretty much sold them all out, and they're all available on OpenSea secondary. I think in good time we'll have our own marketplace and gallery to showcase your works and sell and buy photography.
Nice, man. So sorry, just to clarify, like if you mint the collection, you get one of every photo in there, or?
Oh, when you press mint, you get a randomized piece from the collection. So you don't get to choose the photo you want. You just serendipitously get the one that's, you know, provided to you when you press mint. And I think that we do that because of a couple reasons. When you're interested in photography, you want to buy the things you like. But for our platform, we want to gamify it. So we create this sense of serendipity of the picture that you mint, and you don't necessarily choose it, and you find the meaning, or you don't like it, or you want another image and you sell yours and you buy another. And that really stimulates the secondary market, because I feel like what's lacking in photography now, used to be since before we existed, was that secondary liquidity and confidence in the collectors who are buying into photography and knowing that they're getting something that they can potentially sell if they needed to. Whereas a lot of collections, it's very difficult to do that. So we wanted to create a space where it not only provides this sense of serendipity, but also known liquidity that this is something that you can purchase that will be able to sell if you ever needed to. So I think that's an important thing to make a market, especially in photography, to build that collector confidence. And that's what I've been working hard to do. And that's what ultimately grows the space to be as large as what Artblocks is that curated roster, is that liquidity, is all these things is what truly make that market and the trust in the company.
Yeah, I think the curation is one of the most important pieces, honestly, right? Like, I think that's insanely important. One other question I had for you though is, how are your conversations with artists, right? Like when they approach you or they apply, you know, to be curated on Quantum, like are they aware that, I guess, they're giving up the rights of their photos? What exactly are they giving up? Like, do they understand the trade-offs here? I guess, how are convos like that? Because we don't really see much from like the artist perception side of dealing with kind of putting their photographs on the blockchain.
I mean, they're all into it. They're all excited about it. Some artists give rights, some artists don't. It's just, you know, it all comes down to which artists and what their clauses are for each drop. You know, some artists are okay with you printing their work without you buying something from their gallery. It's all dependent per artist. And you could have conversations with these people in our Discord, like in real time. Like, everyone's pretty active, so you could ask them all these amazing questions. I can't speak for them per se, but I know that they're all willing and able to make their collectors happy.
No, it's cool just to see because I mean, for the artists, they're taking a totally different approach to sharing their work and monetizing it, right? I guess my other question, just on economics for the photographers, do they get like secondary sale fees, or what's the econ there for the artists?
Oh, of course. So on the primary, the artist gets 80%. Quantum is getting 20%. Out of that 20%, 2.5% from our side goes to carbon offset credits. And on the artist side, they donate to their favorite charity. So we try to make it a point to be philanthropic through photography, because photography has always been the medium that shares those stories of what's troubling the world. So why not use that medium to fund and power the ways to heal the problems we're seeing in the world.
No, that's pretty cool. It's great that you guys are so philanthropic from the get-go. And obviously the splits make a lot of sense for the photographer. So it's not like you're being attractive by any means. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we pretty much do all the marketing and collector connections. So, you know, there's a lot of work we do on our end to actually work for that 20% and not just let them do all the work. And on the secondary, we provide the artist 5% of all the royalties, and the platform gets 2.5%.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense. And I guess, like, not a technical question, but like, how are artists like securely getting their art on Quantum, right? Are they like uploading files and it's like very secure, or like, I guess I'm just like, I don't get to see that side of the business.
Yeah, we have like really incredible devs and cybersecurity, so they handle all that, and it's pretty secure. Fort Knox.
Nice. That's good, man. That's awesome. And I think the curation side is the most important, right? Like, I'm coming to Quantum because obviously, like, I think photographers on the blockchain are cool, but I'm really coming there because I know that you started this. You have this history of twin flames. I know that you're going to be like have an insane level of detail to look for the best photographers out there and the best part to share. But obviously that doesn't scale too well, right? I guess, what are your plans for scaling curation? Does that become a board? Does that become the community? What does that look like?
It's a little bit of both. And we have some things up our sleeves that we're not supposed to talk about right now that will...
Leak something.
No, I can't. I could just say we have different verticals coming in terms of curation. So you'll see what that means later this year. Or I could just tell you off this call.
I might already know as an investor, but I didn't want to share anything. But I'm excited. The curation side makes a lot of sense to kind of move on. I guess just zooming out, taking a step back, now that we know your story and we know Quantum, I guess what's been the most rewarding experience of building Quantum for you? Like, is it giving photographers a new venue to monetize and share their work? Is it, you know, realizing your passion of, you know, giving Twin Flames another avenue that's global exposure? What's been the most rewarding thing for you?
The most rewarding thing to me is the connections we're building with artists and collectors and uplifting the entire photography space and showing people that this use case is real. There's money to be made. It's not like a joke. It's serious, and photography should be taken seriously because, you know, we've been giving our stuff away for free for too long, and now it's time to really take our power back. And I think ultimately Quantum does is give power and confidence back to the creator and move into the future with that.
That's meaningful. I don't know much about the photography world, but I'm guessing a new kid out of college, if they're extremely talented, how much money are they actually going to make before Quantum? Like, Quantum gives them a venue, but using the traditional methods, like, do they have a path to like have a life economically? Like, what's that look like?
I mean, probably you can make anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 a year before this, but now you can make $100,000 in a day.
Yeah, that's sick. That's a game changer. It's hard to compete with that.
That's our pitch. Like, when we're talking to new artists, like, we could probably make, you know, $200,000 in a day on your collection. Like, do you want to do this with us? Okay.
It's hard to say no. Has anybody said no to you?
No.
That's good. I didn't think so. Yeah, it would be hard not to.
I mean, if they do, then, you know, that's their choice. We just want to provide abundance to people that have been working hard for it. So
what do you think's the biggest pushback you'd get? Like, if I talked to somebody that was like, nah, Quantum Art's not going to make it, like, this isn't the way photography is supposed to be, yada yada, like, what do you think, like, the old armchair photographer would say as their biggest pushback for Quantum?
Honestly, I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't have an answer. I would just listen and be like, okay, all right. And then 6 months later, they'd probably be emailing me.
Hey, man, I have a collection for you. Let me hop on.
I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
Silence is sometimes the best answer to situations like that.
No response. Yeah, I could definitely come back on that one. So I guess, what can you share with us for what's next for Quantum? I know we can't go too far into the curation side, but is there anything you could share on maybe features or end goal or collections or anything new that's up?
There is something. So other than the community drops coming for season 2, I definitely encourage people to, you know, collect a full season. I feel like it's just a great... If you're interested in photography and you want to understand it and invest, I would suggest if you want to start somewhere and you have 20 ETH, get a full season 1 or season 2 collection and see how that works for you and see, you know, what that does. Business-wise, what we plan on doing in the future is, you know, having Quantum physical HQ spaces and tokens that go with it, and maybe even some NFTs that give you access to these spaces to really incubate artists and connect collectors and really have a team to build with at a space. Because I think at the end of the day, we're all online. At the end of the day, we want to all be connected in person and work together and build cool new stuff. So we're going to be fostering a cultural hub in Los Angeles, in London, in New York, Miami, wherever. I think physical spaces with NFT token access is what we plan on doing. And I can say that. And it's going to be coming within the next few months, starting in Los Angeles. And we really want to, you know, foster and create a cultural hub that people will travel from the UK or New York or wherever just to come and hang out and work with us or make art with us or just be there and experience the gallery or the studios we're building or just work out of the space and really be part of it. And I think a key to it, to the success of this, is showing up, showing the value of what these tokens could be worth in a space that keeps people coming back every day. And you know, and potentially coming to one of these spaces, you can meet an artist that inspires you or you fall in love with to collect their work, and you help them or an artist inspires the collector and then, you know, changes each other's lives, or a degen is teaching artists how to, you know, yield tokens. Like, it could be, it's all of these things. Like, we all could work together. We all could teach each other skills that others might not have. And I think that's an important thing, is how do we educate, uplift everyone with our different skill sets? You know, and you're an investor, so you know how to, you know, invest. I'm an artist, so I know how to create. How do we come together and teach each other? Like, how do I get you to paint? And how do you get me to get tokens and learn how to yield them or invest? So that's, at the end of the day, what we're trying to create, is bringing creatives and the builders and the financiers together in a space, and from that breed just amazing culture out of it.
No, that's really cool. One of my questions for you was, I mean, you have artists sharing their work on Quantum, but it sounds like the spaces that you're creating gives a more personal link to the artist, right? Like, you can come, you can network, you could learn more about what went behind this and what's next in their life and the focus. So it sounds like you're mixing the real world with blockchain and photography NFTs in a solid way. Like, would you say your goal is to allow people to interact with the artists in a solid way and to learn more? Because I would love to be able to learn more from the artists.
100%. We will be incubating all different types of artists. So that's a leak right there, if you want one. All different types of artists in the physical spaces, and hopefully creating a co-working space that lets people, you know, work out of it, and like, they see the artist working, and you know, the artist is drinking their tea on a break, and they can talk about it, and like, creating real life relationship where people may have not ever meet before. Like, you know, artists are usually in the art district, you know, financiers and bankers are usually in Wall Street hanging out at the bars, you know, like, when do they ever get to cross paths? Other than gallery shows or museum shows or galas, like, how do you create an everyday space that brings everyone together and everyone works out of it? And it's just a culture machine. And I think that's what I want to create. I just want to keep pushing culture forward and give artists opportunities and inspire the people who are supporting the artists.
And Justin, do you think that, I mean, like, you're on the cutting edge of being online fully, right? Like, less physical, because obviously all these photography NFTs are on the blockchain. Do you think that your spaces will do better physically? Or do you think eventually you'll have, you know, VR-based spaces or AR, people just online meeting instead? Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of where you think people network on a global scale with Quantum's artists, whether it's in person or whether it's basically online.
I don't think it's one or the other. I think they reinforce each other. So if you look at our Discord, which has been going crazy for the past 2 days because I announced my new project and it inspired people to just connect, and I'm rewarding people who are in my Discord, you know, creating those authentic connections and conversations to be rewarded with a piece from my new project for like 0.2 ETH. And that's an incentive for people to care about the community. And I think, you know, we need physical spaces because we're online all the time and we want to meet these people we're talking to in real life and like have a beer with them or eat a sandwich or take them to a gallery or just talk to them or, you know, enjoy spending time in real life, connecting with someone. It's different over a screen versus in real life. And I think it always comes back to it. And I think that's what social media wanted to do, but it got too caught up in the advertising algorithm and kept people addicted to their phones. And, you know, social media was a reflection point to meet these people we're talking to in the real world. And I always believed in that. And I think, you know, we don't want to go too far in the matrix and create digital avatars and then say hi when I could just come to your house or meet somewhere and chill. And I think that physical experience really connects people in a spiritual way, where we're mediated between technology on a screen. I could see you in your bedroom, and you could see me in the living room, but, you know, we would be connecting deeply with our physical presence and our energies, just like, you know, magnet, because humans have electromagnetic radiation. I think that is what truly creates that bond between people in the physical space. And you need that. You know, when we're not hanging out, I could just say hi, I could call you, I could text you. And I think technology is a great way to connect people. But at the end of the day, the ultimate connection happens in person.
I'm totally with you, man. You can't beat human connection. Frankly, I miss just having our physical office and jamming with the guys at Delphi, because it was just easier, right? It was fun. It was great to see everyone. So I totally understand where you're coming from. And just one of my last questions for you. I'm like a huge movie nerd, obviously probably spend too much time there. Do you ever envision Quantum going from photography to feature films or full-length films, or is that outside the scope?
If the blockchain can handle it, we can do it.
That might be expensive. That's a good point.
I'm pretty sure we'll see some new developments in that world soon about like different blockchains that can actually hold 30 gigabytes or 1 terabyte of information to actually show a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, may have to do something off-chain or Filecoin or IPFS and get access to it through NFT, but hopefully long-term it's doable. But Justin, you have an incredible story, man. You have like real passion injected into like what you're doing and the reason for your collections and your platform. So, you know, we're proud to be investors, man, and we love having you on. So really excited to do this again soon and glad we're able to share some of your artwork and some of your other artists' artwork live while we recorded.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, man. I'm excited and I'm grateful that you've invested in Quantum early when it was just an idea without even seeing a deck. That just shows the trust and commitment that you have in me and what we're building. And, you know, and I hope we made you proud with what we've built.
No, you've definitely made Delphi proud, man. We're excited to be on the journey with you. And I say that speaking on behalf of everyone here. So really appreciate it, Justin. And we're excited for this.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.